Welcome to the Fight White Genocide Podcast with Laura, Ken, and Jeff, where we talk about whatever we think is important in the global struggle against white genocide. This is podcast number 8, recorded March 28th, 2019. Today's topic is Facebook bans human rights for whites. How you doing, Laura?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you, Ken?
I'm doing well, thanks.
All right. We've got a great topic today, and this is, you know, some really interesting news in the last 20 hours ago that Facebook put out this statement saying that it is banning white nationalism, white separatism on all of its platforms. This is unreal. I mean, what do you guys think?
Well, I from what I've seen in the past, this is basically a rule that they've kind of always had, but they just never stated it in such anti-white terms, where they specifically target whites. They're not going after black nationalism or Tibetan nationalism or any other national. They're going after white people.
Exactly.
Yeah, so any thoughts on why they might be doing it now? Is it just to shut up their critics? Or... do they really not want to censor, but they think they have to?
That's a good question. I don't think we'll ever really know the answer to that. What the motive or intent behind it is?
I mean, are they making it so blatant and that they think that censorship is going to fail? You know.
That's the other. I mean. That's an alternative here is that maybe some of these people are deliberately going overboard to make it obvious to people how messed up things are. I mean, that's an option. I mean, I'll take it at face value that Facebook just hates white people and they don't want them to have the ability to have free speech and to object to policies which destroy the race. I mean, that's it at face value when you read the blog post from Facebook. That's what it is. It is what it is, I guess.
It's all a scam. As they're standing against hate, well, they're not doing any such thing. They're just, they hate white people. They're not standing against hate at all. They're standing against pro-white advocacy. That's all.
Yeah, they're not standing against separatism. They're demanding separatism, ideological separatism is what they want.
Yeah, they want ideological purity. They say, well, you want purity, well. They're more obsessed with purity than we are.
That's for damn sure.
It comes back to, you know, this whole program of diversity and multiculturalism in only white countries, and the fact that we aren't allowed to oppose it, you know, and you know, the point that they've put in that word white separatism in their blog post about this, their press release, I think is a massive telltale of what we are opposing. You know, we're saying we want to be separate. We are opposing this program of forced diversity and forced assimilation. And they are now blatantly attacking our desire to be separate. You know, as white people, that we want, we are white survivalists, that we are wanting the right to survive as a group. And they are now saying that you do not have that right. White people do not have the right to want to be separate. And any discussion on that is banned. We are going to censor any discussion.
Yeah, all we are talking about in general and discussing is human rights for whites, the human right to self-determination. Whites should have that right. To determine our own destiny and not be overwhelmed and drowned away by other groups. That is a human right. That's, you know, the UN documents state this specifically. Human right to self-determination. That's why forced assimilation is considered ethnocide by itself. Because when you forcibly assimilate, you are you're denying one group self-determination.
Mm. Yeah, a lot of anti-whites, when we bring up forced integration and forced assimilation, they say, "Well, what are you talking about? I don't see any of that. Where's the force? Well, here, Facebook is saying we can't even talk about it. We can't even oppose it. Let alone it's not happening.
They're admitting it, aren't they? Isn't that almost a saying that it is happening, but we're not going to allow the discussion of it? You know, and that's why it is genocide. You know that, and I think this is even a further step towards that fact to prove the intent that this is a crime of genocide. You know, when we are flooding every white country and only white countries with millions of non-whites, and then force assimilating the populations, and then denying white people any right to speak out against it. I mean, how can you not say that this isn't without intent? And that's the exact definition of genocide.
It's going to be very interesting to see how they actually implement this new rule. Like, what we discuss is massive immigration and forced assimilation being genocide. We're not, by saying that, we're not necessarily endorsing white nationalism. We're not even talking about separatism. We're not talking about any kind of solution to it, because we're not even allowed to talk about white genocide.
The fact that it's happening.
Yeah, we can't even discuss the fact that it's happening, let alone come up with solutions to this problem. So when you talk about white nationalism and you're talking about things like separatism, you're talking along the lines of some kind of solution, which we have no reason to even be discussing at this point. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be interesting for people like myself that are on Facebook and talking about white genocide. Is this going to include me? I'm virtually never talking about white nationalism, and I'm never talking about separatism. All I'm talking about is a crime being committed onto white people, and that we should have the right to openly and fairly discuss this, and that this should be an issue among our governments and our politicians and our media. Mm.
It's almost like that term, though, separatism, comes into it is our defense against when they call us supremacist. You know, well, they're now using that term because we're saying, well, we're not white supremacists. We don't want to supremacize anybody. We want to separate, right? So stop trying to say that we're supremacists, because we don't want these people. So how can I be a supremacist when the only people around are white people? You know, so that's maybe why they're targeting that word separatism, you know, and deny and you know, attacking anybody who talks about wanting white separatism.
I mean, it's probably something that China has done with their great firewall of China, is that the Tibetans aren't allowed to talk about being drowned away by the Chinese immigrants and forced assimilation, that they're not allowed to discuss that either. They've been censored. And apparently, if the Tibetan people don't want to have their group destroyed, then that means they hate Chinese people and they hate everybody who's non-Tibetan. They're Tibetan supremacists, the Dalai Lama, apparently. If you listen to the Chinese media, that might be a way that they kind of put it, but that's the way they're putting it here in Western civilization. If you are against white genocide, if you're against destroying white people, then that means you believe white people are some kind of superior race and you want to rule over all the non-white people.
Exactly.
Yeah, but only when white people do it.
Yeah, it's
according to Facebook. Yeah, only pro-white advocacy is supremacy. Only pro-white advocacy leads to violence. Mm. We're not calling for violence. I mean, but when other groups openly call for violence, Facebook doesn't ban them. So the standard isn't calling for violence. The standard is, they're attacking white people.
Back when Trump had what they were calling "quote unquote" an Islam ban, which it actually wasn't, people were losing their minds over that. They were hysterical that he would do such a thing. But here we have Facebook implementing almost the same kind of thing, where they're saying a certain ideology or a worldview is not welcome
for the actions of a handful of people. You're going to ban a whole group.
Yep. That's it. You know, in this article from the Facebook press release, it says, quote, that over the past 3 months, our conversations with members of civil society and academics who are experts in race relations around the world have confirmed that white nationalism and separatism cannot be meaningfully separated from white supremacy and organized hate groups. I mean, what a what a double standard right there. How can separatism and supremacy be together?
They're not just not the same thing. They're completely opposite from each other.
Exactly.
So the whole basis of Facebook's ban is completely bogus.
It is.
Right. What about the actual racial experts like us?
They didn't contact me.
Yeah, we were never invited into this conversation. They just had this conversation behind our back and just basically slandering and libeling and, you know, using that as a justification to try to censor us.
Yeah, that's it. And they say, state that going forward, we will not tolerate praise or support for white nationalism and separatism. You know, they are saying that this forced melting pot and forced assimilation must take place. I mean, it's just like what Sarkozy said. You know, he stated blatantly, openly, saying that if this doesn't, if it doesn't speed up or take place naturally, that they will use force and coercion to make it happen. You know, and this is what Facebook is engaging in. They are forcing us to censor us, to silence any discussion or desire that, to want to separate, or, you know, opposing supremacy and that whites must assimilate.
And it's not like pro-whites are the only group out there that have violent advocates.
No.
I mean, there's Mike Xavier Johnson murdered five cops in Dallas, and Facebook didn't ban
Black Lives Matter
and everything and every political position they stand for.
Right.
When Congressman Scalia was shot, he was shot by a Democrat, so they didn't ban Democrats or all their political positions. And Floyd Lee Corkins too, when he shot an employee at the Family Research Council headquarters, using the SPLC's hate map as a guide. The Facebook didn't ban the SPLC or anything Floyd Corkins stood for. So they're not anti-violence. They're just anti-white.
Yeah. Then, of course, you had that incident in Chicago where a bunch of anti-whites walk into a restaurant and attack a group who were there for some kind of European convention. They just started attacking them with hammers and bashing them in the head and just innocent bystanders that weren't even part of this group. And I never saw Facebook or MySpace or Twitter, anybody demand censorship of quote unquote anti-racists or anti-whites. I don't see this happening.
That's it.
Yeah. Do they have a problem with Japanese nationalism in Japan or Chinese nationalism in China or black nationalism in most of Africa?
Mm-hmm. Of course not.
No.
They just have a problem with whites.
Another
incident, by the way, is the one in Italy where, an anti-white set fire to a bus full of Italian kids. I didn't see Facebook come out and say that anti-whites should be censored off of Facebook.
Yeah. The guy, the Senegalese guy there, he said he was protesting the fact that Italy didn't let in unlimited numbers of people from Africa. So why doesn't Facebook ban that? Anyone saying open borders for Italy should be banned now by Facebook by their own logic.
Anybody that's pro-immigration, anybody that's anti-racist, quote unquote, or anti-white.
Yeah, and there's no banning of people who openly call for violence against white people. You know, that's totally acceptable.
Yes, but, especially on Twitter.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. But that's just proving, you know, these groups, they're not anti-hate, they're just anti-white.
And all they can really do is try to demonize us and try to attach labels to us and try to say we're supremacists when we're not. Mm. So if we take those words out, we take away all their power. I mean, if we take out supremacy, what do they have?
Exactly.
Okay. One thing I noticed in their article, in Facebook's announcement here, they didn't use the word racism or racist at all.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder
Very
why.
Very true. Yeah.
I wonder why.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah, we've attacked those words so much and turned it around using our terminology. And I think that's a great point as to exactly why we need to do the same thing here and especially with the term and the fact that they're going after separatism, you know, that we need to make this point of why this is genocide. Genocide is the, you know, the crime that is being committed here, and the fact that they are openly admitting that whites are not allowed to separate, that we are not allowed to discuss the fact that that we are being forced to assimilate.
Yeah, that's the thing about what our method is that all we are doing is stating the obvious that anybody can see with their own eyes, and then the anti-whites prove our points. Mm-hmm. That Facebook is just proving our point about that anti-racist is the code word for anti-white. Their whole blog post is about banning white people. Nothing about blacks or Asians or Hispanics or Muslims or any other group. They specifically target white people and say, if you believe that whites should have self-determination, then you will be banned from our platform. Mm. How much more blatant can it be?
Anti-white, exactly. Yeah. And I think, you know, that's exactly why, how, you know, our terminology is so important, and how repeating and going after these terms that they use and pointing out at the double standards and their contradictions, that it is the, you know, that we are in a propaganda war, and that is how we take power from these people, these anti-whites, by pointing out how they are anti-white and how what the program that they are pushing is white genocide.
Right. And Facebook is trying to say that censorship causes, or that speaking, you know, that speech causes violence, but it's exactly the opposite. Censorship causes violence.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right.
I mean, that even, so. They even admitted it. But Farhood Manjoo admitted that, you know. He said, yeah. Well, that's one of the reasons that the Christchurch shooter engaged in it and did what he did, was because our message was being censored. So he had no choice. At least he thought he did.
And now there's studies coming out from, I've heard sociologists and psychologists law studies are now showing that when you censor, you are just creating an environment that leads to more anger and will ultimately lead to more extremism. Not to question Facebook's intent, but they should know this. If they had experts there, somebody would have said this to them. What kind of experts were there? Who are these experts? I'd like to know the names of these experts, honestly. I was never contacted. Nobody here was ever contacted. Yeah. We're experts about this very thing that they are banning. Why were we not represented in this conversation?
Yeah, what makes you an expert anyway? Yeah. because you have the right political position, I guess.
Yes, exactly.
Because you follow political correctness. That makes you an expert.
That's right. You know, this discussion is the human alternative to violence. When they censor an important issue like this, it ultimately leads to violence. When there is no other way to express what is going on, then violence is the inevitable. Ken, what was that one, that quote, you know, about peaceful revolutions?
Oh, yeah, the JFK quote that those who make peaceful revolution impossible make violent revolution inevitable.
Inevitable. Exactly. You know, and...
And there's so many quotes throughout history stating the exact same thing. So the people, these experts at Facebook, they know better. They know better.
Yeah, they want violence, apparently.
I think they do. I hate to, you know, state somebody's intent or motive without that. But I think that these people are smart enough that they should know better.
Yeah, but it's not like they accidentally... just ban white people, you know, or ban pro-whiteism. And I think, I mean, to be a crime, there has to be intent. Well, it couldn't be more blatant what their intent is here.
Exactly.
I mean, honestly, sometimes I wonder, like, if there are people within these groups that know how ridiculous it is that what's going on, and they are just elevating it and taking the ridiculousness to a whole new level and putting out things like this. So maybe they're on somebody there secretly on our side, and they just want to show how speed ridiculous the whole thing has become. I question that too. I don't think that's the case, but it could be.
Yeah, and like you say, these experts who Facebook was speaking to and you know, claiming that that they needed to censor this. I mean, you just posted, Ken, today about this Nevada Law Journal forum, this and that says that, you know, these lawyers a terrorism expert, you said, was it? And that said this is the cure worse than the disease? Censorship of hate speech may well increase violence. Well, that's exactly what we're saying. Yes. You know, and
there's there's a lot of experts, sociologists, psychologists, lawyers that are stating this exact same thing. And again, there's so many quotes from famous people throughout history. I mean, almost every American president has a quote almost identical to what Kennedy said. Almost every single one. So they know. They know better.
Well, we talked a bit about forced integration, you know, and how it causes violence, and especially when you censor any discussion on the program that is taking place. You know, and I think that's how when they talk about supremacy, you know, and they call us that label. And as Jeff stated at the start, you know, we didn't see in that Facebook press release anything about racist or racism or Nazi, but we did see, there was one, that neo-Nazi, white supremacist neo-Nazi. But, you know, that is why we tackle the terminology that they use and put forth our terminology and responses to their attacks, their anti-white attacks, and how important terminology is in imposing our ideology.
Yeah, whenever you say something, you got to ask yourself, how does this discredit anti-whitism? How does this deprogram, brainwash white people? If it doesn't do that, then say, come up with something else.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Yep.
And especially in that term with supremacy, you know, we always come back to that. You can't be a separatist and a supremacist at the same time. You know, we've covered this a lot, and I really feel that that's why that they've come out using that terminology, that they're attacking any white separatism, people that are wanting to separate. You know, we've stated you can't supremacize people who aren't there. You know, if the only people who are around are white people, then how can I be a supremacist?
Well, another question I have is, are they banning all types of white supremacy? Are they banning the people that think that white people are some kind of like superior race that has an obligation to take care of the entire world and open our borders? Because these people are this is routine white supremacy. This is the normal white supremacy and a permitted form of white supremacy. Are these people going to be banned?
Right.
Or the conservatives who say we got to let all these non-whites in, and then when they get here, they got to pretend to act white. We're gonna, right. You know, instead of acting all the way they would normally want to act, or normally would
they
act.
They have to assimilate to white culture and white society. Why should they do that? Why do you think white culture is better? What's so great? I mean, that's the thing about like what you would call white liberals, is that they are actual white supremacists that believe their white liberalism is a superior way of thinking and that the entire world needs to adopt. And again, when you hear people like John Fugel saying, discussing non-whites, they talk about them as if they are just like squirrels, giraffes, or elephants and not human beings. They talk about them as if they're just totally blameless and that they have no agency or intelligence. And again, they feel that white people have some kind of moral obligation to open their borders and train these people to be white, essentially. And then on top of that, they say if you object to their version of white supremacy, then you are the white supremacist. It's the most bizarre upside down worldview. I mean, it's impossible not to just back up and look at the whole thing and just laugh hysterically.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And we've said all along that free speech and diversity are incompatible. And okay, Facebook just proved our point. You know, that's all they can do is prove our points. The minute your country is based on a proposition, not a people, you can't allow any serious questioning of that proposition. So any nation or country, political entity that's based on a set of words can't have free speech. They have to be under a permanent inquisition that chases down all heresy to those words.
Exactly. Yep.
Everybody's got to conform to the religion of political correctness. Now it's official Facebook policy.
I think that's a brilliant point there, exactly, that they're proving our point. Exactly, Jeff. That's that is it. They are proving that freedom of speech and diversity is incompatible. Exactly.
In the Zero Hedge article on this, there was a quote from Kristen Clark, president and executive director of the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights Under Law. She said, "There is no defensible distinction that can be drawn between white supremacy, white nationalism, or white separatism in society today." Well, once again, she's got it completely 100% backwards. Supremacy and separatism are the opposite.
Right.
So again, their whole claim is bogus to begin with.
That's it.
But they're only, and they're only going after pro-white speech. What they're trying to say is that if you, any pro-white advocacy is automatically a call for violence, I guess. But not any advocacy for any other group or political cause.
That's it. It is only attacking white people. And, it's they're calling any disagreement hate. That it is just childish. How these organizations are labeling our opposition to what is happening as hate speech is just childish. And the fact then that they have to censor us, it further goes to prove what we are saying. You know that they must silence us. There can be no dissent. There can be no opposition to this proposition, this multiracial, multi-diversity, multicultural proposition.
Yeah, they're trying to say we have some kind of monopoly on hate. You know,
mm.
They don't. No one else hates anybody except pro-whites. Pro-whites are the only people that hate anybody. Well, everybody hates something. They hate white people. I hate any whites, and freely admit it. You know, they hate white people and won't admit it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they're not any hate. They're just anti white. They're not any violence. They're just anti white. They're not anything anti or pro anything they claim to be. They're not pro tolerance. They're not anything. They're just anti white. Mm-hmm. And we got to point that out.
They're not anti conquest. They're not anti genocide or anti slavery or anything like that. Any of these subjects that they will bring up, they're just anti white. Mm-hmm. It's that simple. When whites are having their countries conquered by other groups, these people support it. Yet they will blame white kids today for things that happened, or conquests that happened hundreds of years ago that these kids had nothing to do with. And yet these kids are supposed to be punished for these things that they themselves, these anti-whites, support. It's, mm-hmm. Again, it's everything about this is just so laughable and bizarre. That how these double standards that these anti-whites just blatantly have.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yeah, when they can't engage in censorship, what they're saying is, you're right, and we can't refute you.
Right. That's a good point.
Anything you're required to believe by someone in power, it has got to be a lie. If it was true, why would you require somebody to believe it? Mm-hmm. Now, on the same token, anything you're not allowed to believe must be true.
Yeah.
If Facebook just wanted to be honest, they could have put out a blog post that said, listen, there's these white genocide talking points and memes that are going around, and we can't refute them. And it's going to pretty much disrupt our entire anti-white system. And we have to shut it down. That's basically what their blog post wanted to say, but they couldn't. So they have to dress it up that they are banning some kind of hate, pushing genocide onto white kids is love. Objecting to genocide is hate.
Supremacy. Yeah. Wanting to separate is supremacy, but wanting to force people together and tell them how to live is not, I guess. Yeah.
I guess the slaves that wanted to escape the plantation, they were somehow supremacists.
Hateful.
Because they wanted to separate from the slave master.
Right, yeah.
They wanted division on the plantation.
Yeah.
And the slave master was just there to bring unity and love and tolerance. And he only wished that the slaves would tolerate.
Remember, these people control us through their use of propaganda, their use of words, their use of mind control, basically. Mm-hmm. So they fear words above all. Because that's the one thing that can destroy their power. So that's why they have to censor.
That's right. So,
and they're going to get, you know, they're going to get worse, I assume.
Well,
here's what Bob Whitaker said. For political correctness, the day it allows arguments against it to go public will not be very different from the day it collapses as thoroughly as the USSR has. Nothing they say makes any sense. That does not matter as long as they have their thugs and thought police in place. But that is the problem with an isolated power group no one is allowed to disagree with. That is the strength of free speech and the fatal weakness of censorship. A group whose opinions only have to be lauded by others in the same group behind a phalanx of suppression gets sillier and sillier and sillier. When it is exposed to light, it collapses. Yeah, I mean, how silly is this article, is this Facebook post? They're talking about disagreement is hate, you know, separation is supremacy. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and it was just prior to that, before you started reading that quote from Bob that I was going to bring up about how in the Soviet free speech, you know, Bob talked about that and about how, they had the right to say as whatever they wanted, as long as it didn't,
a slave could say anything he wanted, as long as it didn't offend his master. Yeah,
offend his master.
That was a great. I remember that article. It was a great article. The points that he was.
Free speech
is the right to offend.
Yeah, the definition of freedom normally given is the right to do anything that does not abridge the rights of others. According to this definition, there was not a single slave in the United States in 1850. Black slaves were free to do anything that did not abridge the rights of their masters. Using that definition, free speech only allows you to say anything that doesn't offend anybody. The Soviet Constitution of 1936, issued by history's greatest lover of freedom, Joseph Stalin, contained an absolute right to freedom of speech. Solzhenitsyn wrote the Gulag Archipelago about his nightmare years in the Soviet death camps. He was sent to the Gulag for writing private letters that were critical of Stalin. It was one of the tens of millions of cases where Soviet freedom of speech had an exception. You know, that's exactly it. They say that you have the right to freedom of speech, but yet you can't offend anybody. And based on whose opinion is it offensive?
Where's all the champions of free speech now, by the way? All the
Ron
Pauls and everybody. And
right, that's another.
And the libertarians. Where and the ACLU, where are they? You know? What is their position on this? You know? Are they for free speech? Or they say, well, hate speech isn't free speech. Or...
Exactly. Hate is not free speech. Yeah, isn't that? And who determines? Like we just said before, you know, calling any disagreement hate is childish.
And where is the Washington Post? Their slogan is "Democracy dies in darkness." Oh well, so Facebook is trying to impose darkness, so they have a problem with this, I would assume, right?
Exactly.
Now we can't talk about separation. Well, you know, we shouldn't have to either. We shouldn't have to because. The Japanese don't have to talk about separation in Japan because they never had forced integration. Mm-hmm. Chinese don't have to talk about separation in China because they never had forced integration. They never had the right to force integrate us in the first place. So yeah, they're right. We shouldn't have to talk about separation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The fact that we do shows that this genocide has been in place for decades now.
Mm. Exactly.
Why would we need to talk about it? That's my question to them. Why do you think white people would need to discuss that?
Exactly.
Yeah, they say we can't have all white anything anywhere. That's what we've been saying. So all they can do is confirm all of our
lines. That's exactly what you said before, Jeff.
We lay these things down. We get them in people's heads, and at first they might not believe them. But then reality kicks in, something like this happens, and they say, boy, those Nazis and the supremacists and bigots, they were right.
Yeah.
They're proving our point for us,
And the anti-whites were wrong. Everything they predicted has happened. Everything they said wouldn't happen has happened. Everything they say would happen hasn't.
This is why, slandering and libeling and calling white people Nazis and supremacists is a bad idea for them, especially when all they're going to do is confirm our talking points and confirm everything I say. Calling me a Nazi and then affirming everything that I say, all you were doing is acting like a Nazi recruiter. You're recruiting for these same people you claim to despise by affirming and justifying that everything I say is true.
Mm-hmm.
This is why I never understood the concept of them even calling us Nazis and white supremacists, because everything we are saying is obviously true.
Mm-hmm.
So you just saying that you think Nazis and white supremacists are right? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
That is exactly how this is going down. We have been saying all along, that there can be no all white anything. There can be no all white towns or schools or, everything must, anything that is too white is forced to accept more diversity. And, diverse just means formally white. That is exactly what we've been stating. And now Facebook comes out with a plan to censor any discussion on separatism. Well, that's what we're saying. We've been saying that we're not allowed to have anything. We're not allowed to separate. We are being forced to assimilate, forced to integrate, and they're saying we are not allowed to discuss it, the fact that that is happening.
And we've said all along also that pro-whites don't have free speech. Well, Facebook just confirmed that. And I would like to point out that, as long as we're in a position where we don't have free speech, we're not obligated to answer any particular one of their questions.
Yep.
Because that's would be like saying, well, what are you going to do about Stalin in 1936 Soviet Union?
Right.
I mean, until we're in power, until we have the right to speak, we don't have to, we're not obligated to answer any one of their questions unless it's to our advantage.
Mm-hmm. Right. Or in some way discrediting them and pointing out the double, the contradictions that they are making. But it's interesting, that this talk of separatism, that and especially that this use of that term that Facebook has now gone after. Bob talked about a while ago. I was trying to find the article, but it might be a podcast that he was speaking about it. But he said that they will end up saying that whites don't have the right to separate because it's a human right for non-whites to have access to white people. And I thought, how brilliant is Bob? Yeah. I mean, how far in advance could he see in the future that was the way it was going to go? And seeing that article last night come up from Facebook and how they're using the term separatist or separatism, that is that they are targeting whites' rights to separate and that we are not allowed to do that.
Yeah. And it goes back to white supremacy, by the way. If you think that access to white people is a human right, I mean, you're a white supremacist if you actually believe that non-whites somehow need white people.
Hmm.
That's just absolutely silly. And it's a white supremacist.
What is inadequate about non-whites living with their own kind? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they say everyone has a right to live with white people except white people. Yeah.
Right.
Mm. I think Bob also talked about during the integration era, the forced busing, that there was a clip in a newspaper that said that white children must be distributed carefully. It was basically talking about whites as a commodity, that we had to be distributed carefully. And it's the same. I mean, but even that, back then, Bob had that saying that a little bit of integration is like a little bit of pregnancy. I used to love when he would say that. It's just the truth. There was no small step there. And he could see it back then. I mean, he was fighting it back then. that this forced program of integration and assimilation, and how the end result is white genocide.
Yeah, and every study that came out at the time said, well, integration helps the non-whites, and it doesn't hurt the whites at all. And we said it would, well, all the pathologies you see in the non-white communities would come to white communities. Well, that's happened.
Mm-hmm.
Drug abuse. So again, everything pro-whites predicted has come true. Everything anti-whites predicted is not.
Yeah.
Not a single anti-white prediction has ever come true. And you could even span that to leftism in general. No prediction that the left has ever made has ever come true.
Yeah, they
still
said
waiting
be...
on Al Gore's climate. We're still waiting for New York City to be underwater like Al Gore said it would by like 2012 or something. We're still waiting.
We'd have Wild West shootouts when they started handing out gun permits.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was going to cause, you know, the concealed carry is going to cause a bloodbath and violence everywhere. No, never happened.
It's always the total opposite.
They know. Yeah. It's all fraud and deception. Nearly everything they say.
Yeah, their track record is almost 100%
failure.
Wrong, and our track record is almost 100% right. So who are you going to believe?
Exactly.
And conservatives have failed at pointing this out. They help the anti-whites bury at their past, mm-hmm. and they never bring back and discuss these things. The Rush Limbaughs, the Fox News, the talk radio, they failed to point this out, and they helped the left wing bury their mistakes. Mm-hmm. And they've always done it, and they're continuing to do it.
Yeah, their job is to protect leftism and present, you know, a false alternative, and this never bring anything up that really hurts leftism.
Mm.
Give people you know, the lamest, dumbest arguments they can come up with that people will kind of sort of believe for a generation or so, and then they flip, you know, and say the leftists were right all along.
Mm.
So they see the leftists give their people good talking points. The right, until we came along, did not. Mm. So when a conservative is listening to these talk shows, you know, it makes sense to them while they're listening to it. But then when they go confront a leftist, they have no ammunition. They have no talking. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they lose. They're demoralized. They don't want to talk.
Or what they think is a talking point, like Dems are the real racists, are actually helping out the anti-whites. It's helping the left out. You're embracing their religion of political correctness. So there's really no reason for a leftist to even argue with you, because you're agreeing with them.
You're reinforcing their terminology, the power behind that terminology.
Right. Yep.
Yeah. And I think, you know, that's why, again, with this Facebook press release is so interesting. You know, it's such a sign towards, I would claim, towards what we are doing, you know, that they are seeing that we are stating, well, hey, we're not supremacists. We want to separate. We don't want, you know, to have millions of non-whites living in our white countries. And they are seeing that is the way that we are attacking their program, and that they are coming back and shutting down any discussion on that. You know, that, I mean, this is a, for us, I mean, you know, Bob always used to say about, you know, he would see compliments in the, you know, the attacks, or, you know, he would see, you know, he used to see compliments in these sorts of things. And for a long time, I always found it like it took, you know, that I didn't quite see, you know, where he was seeing the compliment. But, you know, this, a lot of people would get, straight up in arms and, you know, and frustrated at the fact that they, you know, hate these Facebooks and Twitter, and they're censoring white people and all this. But, you know, this is a step towards us, you know, in our direction, that they're going after what we are saying.
Mm-hmm. And your compliment is they're saying that we're effective.
Yeah.
That we're making a difference.
We are impacting our terminology and our thinking. The way that we are attacking anti-whitism is having an effect on how they are going after what we are doing.
And they know they can't refute us. You know, you had the guy at the New York Times who looked nervous the entire time,
he did.
And he's trying
And funny how you guys pointed out that it was extinction. He used the term extinction, not genocide. You know, we've never made that claim of extinction. You know, we're stating that this is genocide. This is a genocide. So whether it succeeds or is partially or wholly, it is still genocide.
It's a deliberate human crime, not an asteroid impact or something.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, that's it.
As far as Facebook, you know, I haven't actually looked at a lot of reactions, but I can predict what the pro-white community is going to do here. They're going to say, talk about all these restrictions we have to put on social media. Okay, well, that's an example of playing white nationalist Sim City. Okay, you can't do any of that until you're in power. So instead of going on and on about that and you know, building your castles in the sky, how about helping us get in power? Then we can do anything. Until we're in power, you can't do any of that. You can't retaliate against Facebook. We can't do anything. How about help us spread our talking points?
That's it. Yeah, there's a big difference between being in power and in office. And I think, you know, that's exactly, we've covered a bit in that in the beginning of here about how our terminology and our thinking is what is changing the mass consensus. You know, having people think from the point of view that it's not okay to be anti-white and getting people to fight on terminology points, you know, supremacy and racist, you know, that anti-racist is a code word for anti-white. You know, how can we be supremacist when we want to be separatists? It is a propaganda war. You've spoken a lot about that before, Jeff.
Right. They're probably going to spend a lot of time trying to figure out, okay, how do we get around this? Well, you know, the people in power are always going to try to plug up any loophole. So instead of trying to get around the people in power, how about we focus more on taking power, discrediting them?
Exactly.
Instead of saying, no, it's so unfair, you know.
All hope is lost.
Whining about it doesn't do a damn thing. Okay?
It's the Jews.
So.
Right. And to be honest, who didn't see this coming? nobody is shocked by this. At least no pro-white is shocked that Facebook just came out and did this.
Right. But I think that, again, comes back to how we are having such an impact. You know, they are targeting specifically white people in this press release. You know, that is why doing anything, whining about it or making those complaints, it's so unfair, all hope is lost. You know, it's the Jews. Where, you know, it's this is a show sign of how we need to keep on this point and keep on exposing that they are only targeting white people. This is anti-white.
It's not about fairness. It's not about equality. It's not about helping minorities. Whites are a minority in the world and always have been. It's simply an attack on white people, yeah.
That's it. Keep exposing that and keeping, you know, excited. I mean, in a sense, this is a telltale sign to us. So it's keep going, keep on in our terminology and wanting to take power from the mass consensus, power from people taking that position and attacking these organizations for being anti-white.
Don't be upset about all of it. Don't whine about it. Be happy that they are acknowledging that what you're doing is working. Celebrate it.
The closer you are to the target, the more flack you get. Yeah.
Yep.
That's it. It's a good one. Yep.
Whenever they say white people are in power, just you might want to point out, well, they're all anyway, to a person. Every single person in power or in office, almost to a person, is anyway, or they have to speak and vote anti-white anyway. Most anti-whites in power are white, by the way.
Yes, indeed.
Anti-whites in power are white. Absolutely. That's why we have the word traitor.
Just the fact that they're white doesn't mean a damn thing.
No.
They're all traitors, yeah.
That's it. Yep.
That doesn't mean, the fact that they're white doesn't mean, you know, white nationalism or white supremacy or pro-whiteism has any power whatsoever.
It's always funny how some of these people respond. What do you mean? I'm anti-white. I'm white. What? never heard of the word traitor ever. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, it's like they've never even thought of themselves that way.
Mm. That's it. They're pushing the policies or the religion of political correctness. You know, they are. And I mean, touched on that before about these groups like Fox News and that, you know, they're just the paid opposition. They are there to legitimize the left.
They are just as responsible. I mean, during certain events like Charlottesville and any other thing where pro-whites are organized and have a message, they're the first ones to call us Nazis and white supremacists. They'll do it before the left will.
Yeah. Yep.
They lead the lynch mob, yeah.
Yeah. So that's it. We got to keep on, you know, exactly what we've been doing. We got to win this propaganda war and take power, change the way that people think, and change public opinion.
In summary, many political positions have violent advocates. Facebook has no problem with any other nationalism. Facebook is not anti-hate, just anti-white. Truth doesn't cause violence. Censorship causes violence. You can't be a separatist and a supremacist. A propositional state cannot have free speech. The solution is to win the propaganda war and take power.
Awesome. Well, guys, it's been great. I think this is a good place to wrap it up, and we will be back again soon on the next topic.